The Vietnam War, it's over.
Your job's just begun.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of Spycraft. Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
Welcome to Screencast, Kinda Funny's only entertainment-based podcast where we talk about streaming movies and TV shows. We are streamed live every
Friday.
Yeah, at around 11:30
every week.
Every week, yeah, that's a good way to say that. Every week at around 11:30 on Twitch.tv/KindaFunnyGames. If you don't have time to watch us live, that's totally okay. You can catch us on VOD on YouTube and Rooster Teeth.
Catch us on the tubes.
There it is.
Yeah. There's a VHS tape of us floating out there somewhere too.
Yeah.
This boy, is it dirty.
Collector's edition. No. All right.
Oh.
If you don't want to see our ugly mugs, you can find us on your favorite podcast services. If we aren't on them, let Tim know and he'll add us there. I am your host, Kevin Coelho. And to my immediate right, we have one, Nick Scarpino.
That's right.
The man with the three-fingered movie review.
You ever scroll through Facebook and be like, who are half these people?
Who are half these people? To your right, my left, we have Tim.
The tool man.
Second best blue eyes in the Bay Area.
Maybe.
Bay Area.
Yeah.
Yeah. At least this side has power.
Number two.
All my friends that live in the East Bay, sucker ass bitches. They don't got no lights.
Those poor guys.
Their food's all going bad.
It's actually really scary.
It's really bad.
And, like, it's really awesome that we're not having to deal with it. Yeah.
It's just great because we can just stand there and look at them from across the bay.
And they can't see them, though.
They can't hear us laughing, but they can see us laughing because we have light on our faces.
Why are we being so mean? Like, it could hit us, too.
Fuck you, Kurt.
Because here's what it means to be us. Just be assholes until you got to be humble. That's what we have to do.
How about instead of being assholes, we talk about what we have watched? Nick Scarpino, what'd you watch?
I've been watching a show called Goliath on Amazon. My wife was into it. She watched the first two seasons, and I came in at season three, and it is a really, really cool kind of, I want to say detective noir style show, but he's not a detective, he's a lawyer, and the idea is that he always gets kind of roped into these giant cases where it's like a little man versus this big corporation, thus the David versus Goliath. His name's Billy, and it's Billy Bob Thornton, which is weird because his character's name is Billy. So you're like, I don't like that. But came in during season three, and season three gets really weird, and it's kind of almost Twin Peaks-ish with some of the stuff they do. But the bad guy is Dennis Quaid.
Oh.
And I've never seen Dennis Quaid be a bad guy before, and he's awesome. Great. It's good. Season three has a really good cast. It's beautifully shot. And I'm making my way back through it. Season one's a little rough. Season two's good so far, but season three, I'm like, wow.
So you're really done with season one as well?
I just finished season one about halfway through season two. It's only eight episodes. Okay. You know, I love those Amazon
How
shows.
Long are each episode?
Oh, shit.
You think it's like,
I want to say it's an hour.
Okay.
Each episode.
Somewhere around there.
But it's this show and Bosch are my two favorite Amazon shows because they just have that same fucked up, like,
Over the Boys.
Yeah, definitely. Wow. Bosch is great.
Yeah.
Like, season one of Bosch is legitimately really good.
You've been talking
really
about it for so long.
It's one of those shows where you'd look at and be like, what a generic ass, both of these shows. You'd look at, like, what a generic ass NBC show. It looks like network television where, like, at the end, everyone learns a lesson, right? This is not that. It's really fucked up. It's beautifully acted, great cast. And it has its moments where you're like, okay, it's a TV show, but it's Amazon, so they can swear and they can, like, show nudity and go there if they need to, so they can go, like, rated R if they need to.
Do they go there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this one specifically. And the first season's a little cartoony, but by the third season you're like, this is really weird and cool and beautifully shot. I enjoyed it.
Watching anything else?
No.
Did you watch The Joker this weekend?
No, I did not watch The Joker this weekend.
I still haven't seen it either.
Yeah, my two things were Goliath and trying to finish Link's Awakening, which I have not done yet. I'm saving it for the weekend.
It's getting close, though. I'm proud of him. That's exciting.
Yeah, I'm almost done.
I haven't touched it.
It's great.
For like 5 minutes, and then I was like, I'll get back to it.
That's great. Yeah. I mean, you know it's great.
Yeah. Puzzle Link game? All right.
Let's go, baby.
Tim Tam, you watch anything good?
Yeah, I've been watching a lot of cool stuff. Broad City Season 5, the final season on Hulu. I think I mentioned this a couple weeks ago that I saw it, and I'm like, oh my God, like it's been there for a while. Yeah. I just didn't realize it. I love that show. It's such a great sitcom and reminds me a lot of Workaholics back in the days when that was like first kind of popping off, but with more of a, you know, kind of 2019 feminine slant to it. But at the end of the day, it's a really well-designed modern comedy about best friends. And they do a good job of putting them in interesting situations. It's very New York-focused, but I feel like even not being from New York, you don't really lose too much of it because they're good about like contextualizing things. And the season, 10 episodes, 20-minute episodes, it flies by way too fast, honestly. I would never want this show to end, but I'm happy it did because it never hit that point where it got bad. The whole series wraps up so nicely where like the final scene is like, didn't make him tear up or anything, but it was like, that's a perfect end to this show. Like they really did something that I didn't expect and it made it feel like a more important series than it necessarily had to be. Like it felt like more than just a comedy. It wasn't a perfect season. I feel like they kind of relied too much on jokes that were set up in the previous seasons and they were less funny than they were the first time, you know, instead of like adding to it.
That's too bad because I like when shows do throwback jokes.
They did a good job though of bringing all the characters back that we've met over the years and like having them come back and have good moments to kind of end on.
Is
Hannibal Buress come back?
Yeah, I was going to say.
I mean, he's in every season.
Is he?
That's
It's will they won't not will they won't they on again off again relationship.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize he was a main character. I thought he was just like a guy that comes in occasionally.
Oh yeah, no, he's definitely a main character. Like probably the third main character.
Oh, okay.
And he's so great. Any scene he's in is just him. I don't think he has a script.
No,
he has the show, and he nails it.
He has that vibe anytime he's in anything where he's just Hannibal Buress, and he who cares? He's gonna do what he's gonna do, and then leave.
Yeah,
and you're like, well, we got a take out of him. That's it.
It's interesting because with I would say the three main characters of Alana, Abby, and then him, he is just kind of there. He knows how to react to things so well. Abby's character is kind of just like, she's the fucking weirdo that's definitely not cool, but like she has this super cool friend. And then Alana, the cool friend, anything she says, like she reminds me, this is a compliment, Nick.
Sure. Oh God.
But she reminds me of a much more refined and effortless you.
Okay.
Someday I'll
like,
get there, dude.
But it's like,
who's that a compliment for?
You. And like, because here's the thing, it's like, she's so funny at just making things funny that if anyone else said them, wouldn't be funny. But like,
she's you the just movie have this version of you. Like, yes. When we make the movie, that's what your character actually will play.
It was gonna be. It was gonna be a 40-year-old man, but they were like, "We gotta shake this up and make it better."
Yeah.
Well, unfortunately,
give him some boobs. But a lot of boobs in the show. But the way that you'll say like words slightly wrong, like Renaissance.
Yeah, Renaissance.
Like. That's just so fucking funny. She does shit like that, or like we'll just abbreviate words in ways.
Sometimes, like you know that it's like it's becoming who he actually is.
I love it. I love it. So that's what I'm saying. She's so good at it. It's just like it does bother me though, because sometimes I feel like I'm watching you.
Yeah. With boobs. Some people like to jump into madness. I like to have a slow slide in.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You'll enjoy the show, but I think that they did a really good job with it overall.
Did they cancel it? Was it like a hey?
It was a decision. I think they were just like hey, we're gonna move on and do something.
I'm always so unbelievably impressed with that. I was talking to my wife about Fleabag as well, and I was like, why are they not doing another season of this? She was like, the actress didn't want to. She's done.
She's also like the writer, right?
Yeah, she was the one that I guess evidently I didn't realize. I don't know too much about her, but evidently she had like honed this character over a long period of time to pitch the show, and then once it got on air, she had been doing it for like 10 years or some shit like that.
Did you watch Fleabag?
No, but D loved it. You liked it, right?
I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And I watched it out of order, which was really weird, and like I wish I hadn't done that.
But I think they wanted her to do a third season, and she was just like, I would definitely
watch a third season.
Yeah. Gia loved it, too. She watched that.
It's one of those things. I mean, I just mad respect for people like that. Those are people that you're like, you get it. You've done this thing, and you're done with the characters, and you don't want to just do it for the money because you're going to drive it into the ground. So end on a high note. Mm-hmm. God bless you.
A couple of things I watched. I'll be brief about this, but there's a trailer that played last night on Netflix, and I was like, you know what? Cool Greg's in the room with me. We're going to give this show a shot. It's called Rhythm and Flow. It's America's Got Talent type thing, like where they're searching for the next rap star.
Who's going to be the next Ludacris?
The judges are T.I., Chance the Rapper, and Cardi B.
Great, right?
That is a,
great.
That's a hell of a...
And the idea is the first four episodes are out now on Netflix. They're the auditions. And then every week there's going to be... Like, it's a weekly Netflix show that they're actually going to, like, vote people off. And there's going to be different challenges based on different things. We watched two of the episodes so far. So the auditions are in L.A., Atlanta, New York, and Chicago. And each place they go, there's guest judges as well. So in L.A., there was Snoop Dogg. In New York, it was Jadakiss and Fat Joe. And it's just, like, it's from a hip-hop perspective, it's really cool. Like, all that stuff's great. A lot of the talent they have coming in is super varied. And I'm very impressed by them. Nobody that I'm like, holy shit, you're going to be a fucking star. But I'm like, okay, you're actually getting a bunch of different styles that are making this entertaining. But the judges are horrible. And it's like, when you have a show like
them,
this.
Or
no, just like, judges. There's no feedback. There's no actual critical thought. They're just kind of saying things like, oh man, I like your outfit a lot. Like, you got to work on this. It's like, that's not what they need to work on. Like, I just heard what they just did. They need to work on this other stuff. Like, say some shit.
It'd be amazing if it was T.I., Cardi B, and Tim.
Hell yeah,
as the judges.
Hell yeah.
And, and Cardi, Cardi B just says some shit. You're like, all right, Cardi B. And T.I. starts talking. You're like, all right, T.I. And then you give them critical feedback. You're like, y'all need to work on that.
I could so see T.I. be like, Tim, that's a great point. He's making a lot of sense.
I know, man. Me and T.I.P.
Cardi be like, nah, it's crazy.
You think if Cool Greg and Cardi B hung out, they'd be besties?
Oh, God. Unfortunately, yes, yeah. I do. Now, here's the thing, though.
So cool.
I'm saying this because I brought this up a couple weeks ago. I've been watching Dancing with the Stars for the first time because Hannah...
How do you feel about that?
From Bachelorette's on it. That show's fucking fantastic.
Fun show, right?
So much filler that doesn't matter. And so we watch it the next day on Hulu so we can just skip through the interviews and the like. Rehearsal shit.
Uh-huh.
But like when you just watch the dance, the judging, and then the scores, it's so tight, so fucking awesome. And that is how you judge things. These judges, they've been judging since season one.
Yeah.
So it's the same group of people. And they are so good about explaining to the audience what was good and bad about the dance we just saw. Mm-hmm. And it makes me feel like I'm learning shit from this. And they're entertaining. They'll be critical as fuck, but they'll also be... like very supportive of things. Mm-hmm. And it's just cool to see Kate Flannery from The Office dancing, or Kel Mitchell, or the they're super fun. The production's amazing, but it just watching these shows kind of back to back made me realize like
how
the judges are the show.
I don't know who the judges are on Dance with the Stars. I assume they're people who come from a very deep dance choreography background, mm-hmm. right? Because that was always how it was with American Idol, where Simon Cowell was like this producer who actually knew how to produce music, and Randy, whatever his name was, Randy Jackson was a musician, and then they got Paula Abdul, put some coffee in her and just kind of stood her there for a while. But I'll tell you, the other thing I'm watching, and this is the thing that is fascinating to me, because I thought I was going to hate it at first.
Were you saying something, or were you just trying to get a dig at Paula Abdul out?
Both.
Okay.
Both. I'm watching The Great British Bake Off, and I'm watching it appointment viewing, which I didn't think I was going to like. Which, if you're not familiar with how they've done it before, they put all the seasons on there, and now this is the first season that's actually airing
live.
Right after a live episode goes. And I didn't know I was going to like that, because I was like, fuck you, this is not what Netflix is. I'm kind of digging it, but that's another one of those shows where, like, Paul Hollywood and Prue are, like, really, really, really good at what they do. And so when he looks at something, he's like, it's dry because you forgot to do this, or you didn't proof it enough, or you needed it too much, or you didn't put too much. And just the fact that he can look at it and then taste it a little bit and know exactly, he was like, you needed 5 more minutes in the oven. You're like, that's so fucking cool.
It's fucking cool. And it's
cool. I'm learning something.
And it makes it a real show that valuable. Rhythm and Flow doesn't feel valuable.
After 4 seasons of Bake Off, I feel like I'm ready to compete.
Yeah.
I'm never baked a fucking thing in my life,
baby.
But I'm ready to compete.
Let's do it. All right. The last thing I want to talk about. That is actually really fucking cool. And I just found this morning, but I now have watched all of them. There is a Star Wars series called Star Wars Galaxy of Adventures. They announced this thing like, I want to say at the D23 this year that they were doing it. It might have been like last year or something that they announced, and then they premiered the trailer and stuff. And it's been rolling out. They're minute-long little animated vignettes of Star Wars, iconic Star Wars moments. And the animation is gorgeous. I love the art style. But what's really cool about it, I kind of wrote this off because it's a little kid thing for sure. It's on the Star Wars Kids YouTube channel. But after watching a couple of these, I'm just like, wait, these are extremely well produced and interesting and fucking awesome.
How many are there?
Right now, I think there's like 9 that are out. And the one we're about to watch a clip of is 6 minutes, and they did a format for this that they don't for the other ones, where there's a lot of like weird ass editorializing in between. Yeah. But there's about a minute of animation in these.
Wait, what's the how are they adding the editorializing?
I'll explain in a second. So okay.
They literally like this midway through it pauses and goes, "Here's what our thoughts on Syria right now." You're like, "Whoa, fuck it!"
Oh shit!
And then it goes back to Luke being so, like, "I got a lion tamer."
So some of these are minute long clips that are literally just the sound from the movies. But then with the scene animated, how you see it in your head. So there's it's Vader versus Luke in Empire. But it like
this really cool.
is actually yeah, fucking really cool. But then there's some of them that are more like, here's the story. Like the one we're watching that's right here is like Luke Skywalker, the journey of the Jedi. And it's kind of like him throughout all the movies and just like cutting between clips. But it's telling a story using like... a medley of music and like dialogue lines from the movies, and it's really, 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 really freaking cool.
Pull that up.
Check this out. Galaxy of Adventures. Luke will face the Emperor. You will witness the final. Wait, pause it. Of the
Alliance. Do it. Pause it.
Okay, and can you bring the volume up on YouTube a little bit?
And the end of your insignificant rebellion. Everything that has transpired. Has done so according to my design.
I will create a grand army.
The Republic will be reorganized into the First Galactic Empire.
Your fleet is lost. There is no escape. The Alliance will die, as will your friends.
Love that shot. That's really cool. I love that shot in the movie.
It's really cool because they'll like completely remake scenes exactly how they were in the movies, but then they'll also add like flair and stuff, and the transitions are super cool. And like what they did right there, showing
really
Palpatine
rad.
Throughout the prequels, it's like they take moments from movies that, you know, we generally don't really like, but they take the good stuff of them and kind of distill it into a like
here's contextualize what the story it actually, in it like a different way. Yeah.
There's another one I watched that
What is the series called?
Star Wars Galaxy of Adventures.
Galaxy of Adventures.
That's cool.
There's a couple ones that I was watching that have like stuff from Solo. And I'm like, this actually makes that look cool. And I'm like, I'm pretty impressed by that.
Well, I mean, for starters, you can see it. So that's a big up against Solo there.
What?
You can actually see what's going on in the frame. That's probably pretty cool. Solo's biggest criticism was that it was dark and boring.
Oh.
But that was a lot. Mainly, you couldn't see what the fuck was going on. Let's move on. It's okay.
Yeah. Anyway, you guys should watch it.
Barrett
it's
got
free.
It.
They're a minute long.
I think he was laughing at you.
Go check it out.
That seems really cool. They're
dope as hell.
Yeah.
I watched all 10 of them.
It's times like that.
Except
where
for that one that's 6 minutes?
So that one's 6 minutes because there's like, it's the story of Luke Skywalker. And like, there's that clip. There's another clip in the beginning of him like getting a lightsaber for the first time, and it's really cool. But then there's about 3 minutes of like some dude with a high pitched voice being like, "That's Luke Skywalker. He comes from Tatooine." Blah blah blah. And
buy
it's like
some toys.
Random stats and
steal
like
your mom's credit
up.
Card.
These are his midichlorian count.
No, they don't do that.
It's when I see stuff like that, I'm like, dude, make a movie. With that style, make a Star
That's
Wars
a really
movie.
Cool style.
That's
yeah.
so rad.
It is,
and I'm a huge fan of the look of the cartoon series. Like, I like that CG look as well, but that style's freaking rad.
It's awesome.
Come on, bruh.
Yeah.
Come on, bruh.
That's rad. Yeah. When I first saw the little clip, I was like, "Oh, this looks really kiddie." And then, like, yeah, seeing a little bit, it's like, "Oh, the action looks cool though." So
animation's fluid as hell.
Yeah.
Dope stuff.
You got me in.
Fluid as hell.
So I watched a couple things this week. I watched The Politician.
Oh, which, what'd you think? I couldn't get into it, man.
Yeah.
I watched the first episode and a half, and I was like, this show's bad.
I feel like the first episode and a half also is like the best of it, which
Damn,
I actually...
That's not saying much.
But I actually like that. And then it just goes... It jumps the shark real hard so many times. It's by the same people that make the American Horror Stories.
Yeah.
And those shows do the same thing, where like each episode feels like it should be a season, because they've like packed so much shit going on. But like, I don't know, the way it ends, I think I might watch the second season.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
They got you, dude.
They really
you got
did.
Netflixed.
I don't know if you would like it, but
that's unfortunate though, because everything in this,
if you would like it, cause it's a lot of drama and like, over-exaggerated drama where it's like, this isn't realistic. Like, this isn't how people would act. But, like, if you can get past that, there's some interesting things that happen. And the way it ends and what it's setting up for the second season, it's like, ooh, I could get behind. I want to see where that story goes.
How much of Zoe Deutsch is in it?
Zoe Deutsch is she's in it quite. Her name
she's
is
not the main character.
Well, she's not the main. She's the vice president.
One of the main characters, yeah.
She's her name's Infinity Jackson.
Jesus.
And like, she's got like cancer, and he like has her run as his running mate
for the sympathy vote.
Yeah. And like, it's interesting what they do with her story. Towards the end, we get less of her, but. There's a good amount.
My criticism of it, and I'm not. It's Ryan Murphy is the creator. He's the guy that did American Horror Story as well. My criticism of it is that it's too grounded in reality to be a show that's that ridiculous and that surreal. And so I'm like they skated a line between like making these people real and humanizing them versus and then having them do these outrageously like ridiculous things and having this world be. Unbelievable, like, or having it be so surreal that it's unbelievable. They needed to go all the way into that. They needed to have all these characters or all these characters be like caricatures of what they should be. But and then the main character is way too sympathetic. And at a certain point, you just go, wow, you're just sad. This is just you live a sad existence.
But I think that's kind of what it's about. It's like about being depressed.
But to me, it needed to be more like Veep, where all the characters are irredeemable. Well, and so when you're in that, you go, fuck it, let's just go. Where is this ride going to take me?
So there's a bunch of characters that we follow that are all working super hard to like make this election work for their candidates. And like they are acting like this is like an actual presidential election. Like that's really like the main character's dream is to become the president. And like he's like the president of the United States.
Yeah. So he wants to be he realized that six presidents were class president at their college or at the school, when they were high school, which got them into Harvard, which then got them to be president. So he backtracked it and was like, if I do this, then I can get this, then I can be the president of the United States.
My type of dude.
And so that's why the election is so incredibly important.
But
the election itself is like, I don't know, it just seems secondary in the first couple episodes.
In the first couple episodes, it is.
Because like, I don't want to spoil stuff, but the first couple episodes, you're like, this is weird because this feels like this should be episode 6 or 7 of what's happening right now.
Yeah, they jump around, really but they also right jump around in time.
Yeah.
And
how great are the brothers, though, the twin brothers?
They're very interesting. They're awesome. They're very interesting. And they are like,
such assholes.
So there's like what this group of directors, because it's two directors and a writer, I think, or a producer that work on it, this and American Horror Story. And what they like to do is to bring in giant twists, and then they kind of twist it again. And it's like, you don't need to do that. Yeah. The first twist was good. Don't add a second one. So there's a little bit of that.
Twists.
But I think that you should give it a shot because I could see you
there's a lot about
being
it.
Into it. I could see Gia being into it.
There's a lot going on in that trailer that I'm like, I love Zoe.
There's a lot
I
of cool stuff
that dude
and cool
from
ideas.
Pitch Perfect.
Yeah.
I love these type of shows.
I put money on you don't get past the first episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean it's a lot. It's very soap opera-y too.
It's fucking weird.
I also watched Into the Tall Grass, Stephen King and his John Hill, I think his name is his son. They co-wrote this short story and it was turned into a movie.
We watched the trailer a couple of weeks ago.
About people going into this field and like being trapped in it.
Uh-huh.
Very interesting movie. I wouldn't say it's a good movie or that like you need to watch it, but if you're trying to watch scary stuff for October,
trying to get spooked.
Yeah, I think it's a good addition. It there's some cool concept in it that I enjoy that I don't want to get into.
Cool.
But I watched American Factory, a movie Nick that you recommended.
What did you think?
I liked it.
It's great, right?
Really interesting.
One of the, I should say. I haven't seen a documentary in a long time that actually does a fairly good job of being objective.
What is it?
It's a movie about, it's a documentary about a factory in Ohio.
Yeah, that's right.
That had closed down. It closed down, and everyone in the town basically lost their jobs because it employed a lot of people.
11,000 people had lost their jobs.
And so a Chinese company came in and decided to revamp the factory, use the infrastructure, and make it into a glass factory. And it's basically a documentary that these people made following that whole process.
From
and
the then, very beginning. Like, from the very beginning company
of
get built out.
The Chinese company. And they talk about the Chinese company. And then it really is, it just shows you kind of the differences between culturally the workplaces of a Chinese factory versus an American factory. And they actually, like, in the course of the documentary, they try to unionize and they show how they kind of quash that. And it's, you would think that it outwardly, and this is what I came in with an unfair bias, obviously, like outwardly I was thinking, okay, we're going to see how horrible it is to work in a Chinese factory, and I'm going to totally empathize with the workers. But they do a good job of showing you what it's like to run that company and be like, these people are not, like, we're not, the American way of life is not the only way to do it. And then, of course, showing you the Chinese way of life, you're like, oh my God, they work these poor people to death. But then, like, are the Americans, like, lazier? I don't know. Like, I don't mean to speak badly about either side. I think I'm coming off really negatively. It shows you, you empathize with the American workers, but you also empathize with the people who are running the factories and the tremendous amount of money that they're putting into this town, and then trying to get a return on that, and then being faced with, like, them unionizing, and then you go, oh, well, they are making these poor people work longer hours than we're used to in the States, but that's their culture. It's fucking crazy.
It's really interesting, and there's certain, like, interviews that happen when you're like, why would anyone say this on a camp? You know, like, they're
Vince
like...
Vince McMahon'd it.
Yeah, and like their interview, they're recording.
They call it the American workers fat. Yeah. And they were like, they're working really slow because they're fat. They have fat hands.
But at the same time, then they take a bunch of managers to China to see the factory.
God.
And the way these people move, like they like obviously they've been doing it for a lot longer.
They've been doing it a lot longer.
But they work like 12-hour shifts, and that's normal, you know? This is normal to them. So when you have the execs coming over to be like, why aren't we producing as much? Like, can't we make them work 12 hours? And they're like, no, not in America.
Like, they literally
laws.
Make people in this Chinese factory work 12-hour days, and they get, I think, what was
Well,
like,
I don't think they make them, just to be clear. Like, I believe the shifts are 12 hours.
Let's put it this way. It's highly encouraged that you work to a degree that otherwise you might not have a job. Mm-hmm.
And then they interview these people, and like the people are like, yeah, you know, I don't see my kid ever, but like I'm giving them the future that like I didn't have.
Yeah, but they also work like, and you're like, oh, okay, I appreciate that, right? Like, people in China, because there is so many people and so few job opportunities, will live in a completely different part of the country than their family and send money back to them, and they'll just work literally nonstop. And when I say nonstop, I mean, I think they get like 3 days off a month.
Yeah.
That's it.
Man.
So it's every fucking day, 12 hours a day, you know, and then they're literally like talking about the lunch breaks, and they were like, this guy's get like an hour lunch break. And one of the guys that worked, he's working in the American factory, who's Chinese, as a manager, and he's trying to get shit going. He's like, they're like, what do you eat for lunch? He goes, I eat two Twinkies a day and I get it done in 3 minutes.
Dude, he was so
like,
excited.
I get it done in like 5 minutes.
And then it showed him eating the Twinkies, and he was having the fucking time of his life.
I'm like, this poor guy's gotta get like pre-diabetic. But I'm like,
but that's all he ate.
I know, this is the
It wasn't he, like he was eating 20 of them.
But then, like, it's so weird because you see the Americans go to China, and I'm like, oh my God, these guys.
I know. The one dude that can't put on, like, the safety thing because he's too big.
They're so big, they can't put on the safety thing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, God, my God. And everyone in China is just like,
they're trying to be nice.
They're all trying to be nice to these fucking Americans.
That guy's with their fat hands.
So that was, they were saying that in Chinese to each other.
And they did it so much better.
They were going to translate it.
But there's a shot of an American manager just talking mad shit about like Americans, just being like, yeah, dude, we're lazy as shit. Look at these guys. We're lazy.
But I mean, again, we're dipping into the assholeness. But also, it really did bring up a lot of questions of like these people that are working for this, this like what, you know, and this job is not what they thought it was going to be, but everyone kind of was like, what did you think it was going to be? Like,
they talk about the turnover being really, really, really crazy, brutal, where they're like, we've had 8,000 workers come through and we only have 2,000 that actually work here, but like the turnover has been so high that like...
And it raises the questions of like, you know, they're getting paid less and like, what are they worth and how do they support their families and all that stuff. A lot of interesting questions, very good documentary produced by the Obamas. So the Obamas, Michelle and Barack Obama, have a production company, and they're producing documentaries now, which is cool. Did you watch the little after interview with the directors?
No, I didn't.
I think there's another like a special feature where they sit down with the two directors, and it's fascinating because they were like, what was your point of view on this? And they were like, as we started making it, we decided not to have a point of view because we started seeing both sides, and we just thought we need to just take a step back and just follow this process and just tell the story like as objectively as humanly possible.
Right.
I watched a really deep cool. fake video of Barack Obama as okay. Black Panther.
Cool.
Okay.
And it was called Brock Panther.
Okay.
And then it was him. But then they had somebody that does a really good impression of his voice do the lines for Black Panther.
Was it good?
You guys need to watch it, man.
Yeah.
It's real good.
I never freeze.
Dude, it's amazing.
YouTube. Never freeze.
Stop watching this show.
No, don't say that. Yeah, there was also one more thing that I want to touch that was cool. This documentary seems like they recorded in like maybe 3 years.
It was a long time. Yeah.
So they follow this dude that started working there.
We got to move that door. The guy's like, the giant door. He's it's on the wrong side. It's like, it's not going to work for us.
$30,000.
$30,000. The guy's like, well, do it.
Yeah.
Fuck. Okay.
You shouldn't have put it there. God.
It's so weird.
But it follows this guy for. He worked there for 2 years, and at the beginning it kind of shows him being super optimistic, and he talks about developing a relationship with like the dude that was training him, and like by the end he ends up getting fired, but he's still like best friends with this Chinese guy, and like the Chinese guy's view also kind of changes about America, and he's like kind of like I have so much time, this is great.
When they come over, they're like, we don't like, they obviously start empathizing with a more relaxed American way of life, westernized way of life, where we do get time off. It's pretty cool. It's worth watching. I think you and Gia should watch this video.
I think it's really dope. I also watched a Netflix original movie called I Am Mother about basically a robot.
Oh, yeah.
Brings this, like, has like a little fetus thing that, like, she grows this girl in this, like, giant facility where they have.
Hideo Kojima movie?
Huh?
A Hideo Kojima movie? Looks like that's right.
It does. Yeah.
Can't wait.
An interesting sci-fi movie that at the end is a little bland and kind of predictable, but like fun Netflix movie, I'd say.
Cool.
Worth watching. The acting is well done and overall interesting.
Cool.
How many thumbs does it get, Kev?
One.
Three.
One. Cool. And then the last thing I watched was Undone. Undone.
Oh.
Amazon Prime show that is like really interesting, like rotoscope style. Where
you were telling me about that.
Yeah, it looks like. Do you remember the movie Scanner Darkly?
Scanner Darkly.
With what's his face? Dude that played Neo.
Keanu.
Keanu Reeves
and
in it.
Woody Harrelson. I think was
and
in also.
It's a cool style, and overall the movie, the show is really interesting. Where it's like,
oh, it's Rosa Salazar. Oh no, yeah, the one you just watched.
I love her.
Undone.
Bob Odenkirk, Rosa Salazar. Yeah.
Alita.
The girl that played Alita.
In which one? In
Undone.
Battle Angel.
In Undone?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. You can't really, like, the masking that they use kind of, like, obscures people. Like, they look different. But, yeah, it was really, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I'm also not used to her having normal size eyes.
By the way, did I tell you guys I watched Alita on the plane right back?
No,
from
you
today?
Like it?
I did, actually. Yeah. I expected to be like, this movie's going to be boring as shit. And actually, I was like, oh.
I really, really cool. enjoyed it.
I like where they're going with this.
I actually just bought it on 4K because I like it that much.
I remember you guys watching it going like, it's actually pretty good. Yeah. So I gave it a shot. I'm like, you know what? For once, guys, you were right.
Yeah.
For once.
For once.
For once.
Man. Anyways, Undone, very heady kind of TV show about like time traveling and depression and like, you know, people dealing with mental issues potentially, or is it real? It's kind of up in the air, and like there's a second season that has been announced for it that I'm very excited.
End of the Fucking World is coming back soon.
Oh, interesting.
Season 2.
That was one where
that didn't need a second season.
No, but I'm interested. That was really going.
That was one where I wish it was a movie rather than a show. Kind of like the Paul Rudd thing, where it was like, oh, this looks like a cool Netflix movie. It's like, no, it's a show. It's like, oh,
I'm stoked to see what they could do with season 2, because season 1 was just weird enough that it kept me going, even though it was drawn out.
Yeah,
but cool.
Really quick before we move on to the next segment, over the course of 3 weeks, I finally finished my Breaking Bad rewatch in preparation for El Camino, which comes out tonight. And you can join us tomorrow right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames for El Camino in review at 11 a.m. ish Pacific time. But yeah, I finished that up, Breaking Bad up. It's great. I'm excited to get more of Jesse Pinkman's story, because going back to it this time around, I think the finale it gives us a goodbye for Jesse Pinkman, but I don't think it gives us the goodbye we deserve with that character. So the finale is more of Walt's ending. And then I also finished my My Hero Academia rewatch in preparation for season 4 this weekend. Very, very excited. The last episode of season 3 introduces... the last couple introduces a character named Mirio, who has this really, really cool but complicated power where he can kind of morph through like physical objects, and it's a very complicated quirk that he took so much time to train for and like overcome how complicated it was and master it. And he's a really cool character, and I feel like they're really setting him up for season 4, so I'm excited to see more of his character and what whatever the storyline is there. And I know a lot of people who read the manga, because the manga's ahead of the show and stuff, are excited to see this new arc get put into the show. So I'm excited for season 4, boys. Let's go!
I gotta get into that show.
Check out how fucking bad this bike effect looks like. Watch this. Ready? Wait. Wait for it.
Oh, the Gemini Man.
Watch it.
Look at how bad that was. That's not even physically possible.
Wait, send that to Barrett.
I don't know how to send this link from IMDb. Yeah, hold on, let me see if this will do it. Oh yeah, there you go.
Yeah, okay. That's cool. That's really fucking funny.
While you do that, so I'm gonna bad. Use what?
I just want to throw a statement out there. Gemini Man.
Fucking what the fuck?
What is up with the weird way it's shot and being presented?
What's up with everything that's happening with Will Smith's career right now?
I was seeing a bunch of talks.
Oh, there was a story that like it was shot in 4K 120.
And that there's movie theaters you can go and watch it that way.
Oh no, I don't know.
4K 120?
Yeah, 3D.
Yeah, it's
and
interesting.
Like that's the way. Who directed it?
I don't fucking know, but.
It's someone cool.
But somebody, Ren, one of the Quarter Digital guys, was tweeting about it. He's like, the movie wasn't good. He's like, but it was insane watching in this style where it actually worked for this, unlike The Hobbit.
Interesting.
Because it's like, well, The Hobbit was shot in 48.
Yeah.
So The Hobbit was shot and it looked like it looked a little bit more like TV. 120 means they shot the whole thing in slow motion. So that
but it's like super fast frame rate, so the movements look incredibly smooth.
Which is interesting.
Yeah. That explains the fucking weird ass bite.
Just really
it was
bad.
Ang Lee who directed Gemini Man.
Oh, never mind. That's right.
It doesn't matter.
I like the concept of that. It's too bad it
did it not work?
I don't know. Barrett, I sent it to I'm control. I just need you to scroll to. There we go. I see. Right.
Kill the audio.
Just keep watching it. There we go.
Here it comes.
All right, yeah. Ready? Hold on, wait for
just
it.
Just watch the motorcycle.
Why is this like 720?
Why would you let that? I mean, like, cut the whole scene.
I love it.
So much of the action scenes look really cool. Like, right there, he threw a grenade, shot it to get it to go where he wanted to.
That's how grenades work.
When
you shoot an explosive device, you bah!
Well, because it's thick metal, I'm sure.
The motorcycle whips the dude. Jesus.
That was fucking hilarious. I'm seeing this movie immediately.
All right. So time for some quick housekeeping. We don't have a thing? Okay, that's right.
Housekeeping.
My first thing is Video Games Are Cool shirt and Nitro Rifle Association shirt at the Kinda Funny Store. So if you want this shirt, you can go to the Kinda Funny Store.
Hell yeah.
At kindoffunny.com/store.
You can also go to patreon.com/kindoffunny to get the Star Wars The Sirens Are on Art.
I was wearing that. I'll be wearing that next week on Return of the Jedi.
Yeah?
The Jedi.
And then also, Kinda Funny is coming to Toronto October 19th and 20th. Who do we got?
EGLX. Tim? It's going to be me, Andy, and Greg. And we got two panels on Saturday and a panel on Sunday. I think we got a signing on Saturday morning, or Saturday afternoon, rather. And I think at 7 p.m. we're going to be doing... 7:30 p.m. On the main stage, we're going to be doing the Smash Bros. Battle Royale, where we'll be picking people from the audience to see if they got what it takes to go against the champ. I may or may not play. And then we have a fun trophy for everyone. So whoever wins gets to walk away with that one.
Why would you say go against the champ and then immediately be like, but I might not play?
Yeah, because sometimes I like to roll the dice, you know? And then on Sunday, we have the Kinda Funny main panel, which is happening Sunday before noon, I think 11 o'clock.
11 a.m., that's right.
It's going to be super fun. Come out. Bruce Green's going to be there, as well as James and Elise Willems over from Funhouse. And I'm sure we'll be dropping on each other's panels to screw around and have a good time. So it was a blast last year. If you guys aren't familiar, it's a very, very cool conference that's happening in Toronto. Come out. It's fun.
Also, shout outs to our Patreon producers, Al Tribesman and David Mintel.
Mind-free. Want some candy? Want some candy?
Predator 2.
Predator 2. I'm going to find the clip for you guys so you know what I'm talking about.
Candy. It's weird.
Watch. Ready? Predator.
Also, this show is brought to you by our sponsors. The first one is Me Undies. Bear, go ahead and give me that one. I'm doing the sponsors right now. Ooh. Yes, please give us your rendition of what ghost noises are. That's what it says. Oh, Nick, you're doing a great job. Yeah.
I did it yesterday. I crushed it. KFAF.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. Halloween. Remember when planning your costumes as a kid was like the most fun you could have pre-Christmas?
It's still fun.
I do. And it's still fun. That's right. Nick's right. And now that you're an adult, Halloween feels less Halloween-y. Am I right?
Right.
Well, Me Undies is bringing back the childlike joy of picking out the perfect costume with their spooky prints and Halloween costume onesies. That's right, costumes, onesies, boo! I love Me Undies, and I just found out they have a Rick and Morty collection coming out and crew socks. I'm stoked! Can't handle ankle socks, and now I don't have to because they got the crew socks all the way up. All the way up, Barrett! They're spooky soft, like designed to be the best thing you've ever put on your body soft, like softer than a fluffy kitten dressed up with in a pumpkin costume. That's adorable. Like softer than the brain zombies love to eat. Oh, too far? Well, you get the idea. These are the softest undies known to man, and they're also available in sizes extra small to 4XL. Soft for all. Me Undies has the most unique prints out there, but the Halloween prints are another spooky level. This year, Me Undies is coming out with a variety of festive prints to really put the boo in booty. You like that, Nick?
Ooh.
The boo in booty?
Tell you what, man. I do like that. I've said this before. I'll say it again. This is not to denigrate the other ads. I love all of our sponsors, and you guys are great out there. Thank you so much for supporting the show. But the dude
this quickly. I'm not done.
The person that writes the Me Undies ad.
They're doing a great job. Great.
Me.
Let's cut back to
gets me.
Yeah. Didn't think undies
they get me.
Would up your Halloween costume game? Well, think again. Their unique prints are designed to be mixed and matched and turned into the most guaranteed first prize at the costume contest. Costume. Yeah. If you don't feel like leaving your house, Nick, I don't like being distracted. That's cool. Just wear the Halloween costume onesies to pass out candies, and you're good to go. Me Undies has a great offer for our listeners. Any first-time purchasers get 15% off and free shipping. This is a no-brainer, especially because they have 100% satisfaction guaranteed. To get your 15% off your first pair, free shipping, and 100% satisfaction guaranteed, go to MeUndies.com/morning. That's MeUndies.com/morning. Our next ad is HelloFresh. With HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit, get easy seasonal recipes and pre-measured ingredients delivered right to your door. All you have to do is cook and enjoy. HelloFresh makes cooking delicious meals at home a reality, regardless of your comfort in the kitchen. From step-by-step recipes to pre-measured ingredients, you'll have everything you need to get wow-worthy dinners on the table in just 30 minutes. That's why Tim and Gia enjoy HelloFresh so much. I was looking up this week's recipes and I saw the pork teriyaki meatballs with carrots and zucchini over rice. It really caught my eye. Gia, if you're watching, HelloFresh offers a family style size. It would be so easy to have us all over whatever day you want, Gia, because you can always easily change your delivery days, food preferences, and skip a week whenever you need. Gia, let's just make this happen. It'll be fun. There's something for everyone, from family recipes to calorie smart and vegetarian, and fun menu series like Hall of Fame and Kraft Burgers. For $80 off your first month of HelloFresh, go to HelloFresh.com/morning80 and enter morning 80. Our last ad is Upstart. As most of us have found out the hard way, getting into debt is easy, getting out is hard, especially if your credit score isn't great. Thankfully, there's Upstart.com, the revolutionary lending platform that knows you're more than just your credit card score and offers smarter interest rates to help you pay off high interest credit card debt. By now, we've all heard of Nick's uncle, Tim's unnamed friend, and Greg Miller's post-college debt. If you don't plan correctly, you can find yourself paying off your debt at ridiculous interest rates. That's where Upstart can come in and help. Upstart goes beyond the traditional credit score when assessing your credit worthiness. They actually reward you based on your education and job history in the form of a smarter interest rate. They make it fast, simple, and easy to check your rate in just a few minutes. The best part, once the loan is approved and accepted, most people get their funds the very next business days. If you plan it right, that can be the next day. Over 300,000 people have used Upstart to pay off credit card or meet their financial goals. Free yourself from the burden of high interest credit card debt by consolidating everything into one monthly payment with Upstart. See why Upstart is ranked number one in their category with over 300 businesses on Trustpilot, and hurry to upstart.com/morning to find out how low your Upstart rate is. Checking your rate only takes a few seconds and won't affect your credit. That's upstart.com/morning. Now it's time for the news.
News!
Does Vin Diesel take himself too seriously or not seriously enough? I can never freaking tell. You know what I mean?
What?
Just Vin Diesel.
Oh, Vin Diesel, got it.
Instagram.com/Vin Diesel.
It's just all right,
Nick, this first news story is for you. Weird. Cobra Kai comic book series coming. I read it out of order, and now I'm trying to get myself back. Yeah. Keeps the Karate Kid saga kicking.
These guys
Cobra
don't
Kai
get
remains
it.
A big hit among the Karate Kid fans, and now it has its own comic book series to boot. Cobra Kai, the Karate Kid saga continues, is a 4-part IDW published hit. It's about the kid. It's just out of order there.
Yeah, I get it.
It's about the other kid's perspective.
Yeah, so the idea behind the comic book is that they're rewriting the 1984 Karate Kid, is that what it was? Uh-huh. From Johnny's perspective.
That's it.
Johnny being, of course, the villain of Karate Kid, but they're really leaning into that whole conspiracy theory that Ralph Macchio was actually the bad guy the entire time, which is hilarious.
Really funny. Yeah.
It's a great concept.
IDW have some hits,
they do
man.
Some quality stuff. They had a couple panels on it. Stuff. Looks like it's going to look cool.
I am shocked.
Yeah.
And disappointed with myself that I haven't watched season 2 of Cobra Kai yet.
As am I.
I just keep forgetting that it's a thing and it's free right now and I need to watch it. And if you haven't watched the first season of Cobra Kai, don't watch anything else except for KFAF. Go watch that and then go watch all the other episodes. Then watch the first season of Cobra Kai. It's fantastic.
We're also getting the third season, which is dropping sometime in 2020.
Dude, if we ever can get William Zabka or Ralph Macchio on this show... I'll consider myself
on this show. We have cool friends, right?
Yeah, that's what I meant. Not this show.
Yeah,
this would be. It'd be great if we're like, Ralph, what do you think about that? And he's like, what, Vin Diesel? I'd love to work with him.
So any chance you're gonna read this comic?
I mean, if someone buys it and leaves it in the office, I'll read it.
Okay,
but I'm just not a comic book reader per se.
But I like the concept a lot. It's cool that they're diving into the other side.
You know, I just think it's. I think it's great that they're doing more stuff with the Karate Kid universe. Why
yeah,
not?
But Cobra Kai was hey, Johnny kind of got fucked throughout this, where he trained his whole life for this.
No, I mean
his dad was an asshole, right?
Cobra Kai, it actually does a very good job of humanizing Johnny. Like, so obviously, all kidding aside, the Karate Kid was a very thin movie as far as he was a hero. Johnny was just this fucking cookie cutter bad guy that had no redeemable qualities. But that's what's so fascinating about Cobra Kai is that they actually managed to make him a little bit more deep, and then they go into a psyche. Yeah, his stepdad was an asshole. He was rich and. He just ends up having an amazing redemption arc. It's really cool.
My next story, also for you. Beverly Hills Cop 4 will start shooting after Coming to America 2, according to Eddie Murphy. So Eddie Murphy's back.
Eddie Murphy got something happened.
Yeah,
where whoever was blackmailing Eddie Murphy a long time ago died. And he's like, fuck yeah, I'm back, man.
What happened is Dolomite Is My Name is like, I think he had a lot of fun doing it, and I think that sparked something in him.
He is, he's coming back to stand up.
Yeah. He does smell like something's burning.
I mean,
I think you're having a
Brisbane
stroke.
Is burning right now.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not joking. Yeah.
That's probably
Brisbane. It's
Brisbane, or maybe Cool G's having a smoky smoke outside, a little menthol.
It doesn't smell like smoke. It smells like. Yeah. Yeah, okay. It does smell like the hills are burning.
Yeah, yeah. I think that might be an issue right now.
Listen, I love Eddie Murphy.
Yeah.
And I will watch, if he does Coming to, when he's done with Coming to America 2, I will watch it.
Yeah.
Do I think it has a chance of being.
Do you like Coming to America 1?
Fuck yes. It's a
classic. It's so fucking good.
No, Coming to America 1 is legitimately one of his best movies. That was like Eddie Murphy at the height of his career and artistic abilities, bringing together him and Arsenio Hall. Are you kidding me? James Earl Jones isn't Coming to America.
So good.
Eddie Murphy plays multiple characters in it.
She's your queen to be.
Sexual chocolate. I love.
Do you remember any of these references?
The royal penis. It's great, Your Highness.
Yeah.
Coming to America was fucking great. And this is also, it was at a time when Eddie Murphy was like, had a slightly sharper edge than he has right now. This is Eddie Murphy pre-Shrek, pre-Doodle-Little, I have kids and I realize maybe I shouldn't be that crazy.
That was money.
But I think now
they kept throwing money at him and he kept being like, I will do whatever. You want Doodle-Little 3?
Well,
let's do it.
He had some trouble in his personal life as well. And then his movies actually weren't opening that well at the box office either. So, I mean, he had a couple movies that were stinkers after Boomerang, and he had Metro and
Pluto
a couple
Nash.
Other movies. Pluto Nash was the big one. Oh, that was the one that was
terrible.
It was a very, very expensive movie and took it out of him. And he's just, you know, at a certain point, he was the king for like a decade.
Beverly Hills Cop 3, terrible, you said.
Beverly Hills Cop 1 is a classic. Beverly Hills Cop 2 took it up a notch and is arguably one of the better, like one of the few movies that actually could rival the sequels that could rival the original. Directed by Tony Scott, coming out hot off the heels of Top Gun. Come on, son. Beautifully done. Beverly Hills Cop 3 is like a long SNL skit, whether you're not sure what they're making fun of, but you think the joke's on you.
So we'll see when the first trailer drops if it's got your attention then.
Oh, I'm definitely going to see both these movies.
Yeah?
Oh, God, yes. Yeah. Are you kidding me? It's going to be terrible. They're going to be terrible.
Tim, this next news story, just for you. Blind spotting.
Not just for me. Me and Barrett.
Oh, that's right. Barrett loves this.
Yeah, fucking, come on, Kev.
All right, sorry,
offended.
Barrett, I'm so sorry.
Offended.
Barrett, I'm sorry.
Go for it.
Love you.
Blind spotting TV series spinoff starring Jasmine Cephas Jones coming to Stars. Man. Stars.
The best recommendation Barrett has ever given me is to watch Blind Spotting. And they're now making it a series, which is interesting.
Yeah.
One of those things I don't necessarily want. One of those things I don't necessarily know how it's going to work.
Yeah,
but
when you sent me the news, like trying to feel my hype, it was definitely like, I need to see not even trailers. Like, I need to see the first episode.
The synopsis?
Before I have any like hype or thoughts about it, because I like that movie is just that is that story to me, and I don't like those characters are cool and I could see them in other things, but as a long-running TV show I don't know.
The synopsis that came out sounds like this is like a sitcom. So Variety reports that Starz is developing Blind Spotting. Let me see the whole story. Starring Jasmine. Young mother. So Ashley, a young mother whose partner of 12 years, Miles, is suddenly incarcerated in the half-hour dramedy. The now single mother is forced to move in with Miles' mother and half-sister.
Which could be interesting because Miles is such a fascinating character.
Yeah.
So it could be interesting to see like his family is about, because we don't meet really any of his family.
To me, this sounds like the best course forward that they can do, which is we're not trying to
elongate Miles,
capture the movie's like feel. This is the world that they built in that movie is so strong because it's based on reality.
Yeah.
That I feel like this could really work with the dramedy stuff. Like I think that you're getting the sense that this is going to be like a wacky sitcom.
Well, so that's the thing. I haven't seen Blind Spotting. What genre is it? Like, is it
I would drama? Like it is a dramedy.
It's a drama.
Oh, it's a drama.
And yeah, but yeah, it's in a weird way. Comedic elements to it, but it's life. You know, life's kind of funny.
Yeah, there's a lot of great dialogue, funny dialogue, because they're best friends and they fuck around with each other. But they do bring up very real topics for Oakland and whatnot. So I think if they can.
I own this movie. You gave me the voodoo code. I could watch it.
You got to watch it, man. I want to watch it again.
You guys really liked this movie.
It's fan-fucking-tastic. Yeah. I feel like
it was my top two movie last year underneath Spider-Verse.
Yeah, I mean, dude, I think I'm right there.
I think it was a dramedy. I thought it was, like, intense.
Yeah, I thought it was intense.
It's intense.
But it has comedy aspects in it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's
the climax of the movie.
Imagine hanging out with Cool Greg for a day. You're going to laugh.
Yeah.
You know you're also going to cry.
Mm-hmm. You're also going to cry. Yeah.
You're going to get scared.
Someone might say watch something fucking movie, yeah. Like, for sure. Yeah. In this whole thing, another thing that I watched half of, we haven't finished it yet, that I forgot to mention earlier, is the Wu-Tang Show on Hulu.
How was it?
It's real good.
Yeah?
Okay. Yeah.
I'll watch it.
It's cool. There, you know, it's very, it reminds me a lot of if Straight Outta Compton was a TV show,
mm-hmm.
which, yes, it's very one-sided of what characters look good and what characters look bad.
Oh, that's fine.
But I'm
fuck
not
them,
that...
Get popular and make your own show. You know what
totally.
I'm talking about?
I'm not that aware...
Revisionist history.
...of the Wu-Tang history and all that stuff. And it's like, I'm interested. And they're doing a good job kind of putting all the pieces together. Like, there's a ton of reveals that happen where you're like, oh, fuck, they're related to them. Oh, they're fucking that person. Oh, no. It's like, you start... I'm caring a lot about what's going on. And
how
we haven't gotten to the points yet where, like, they're making the music, really. Mm. But, like, they keep teasing little things happening.
It's
like
the first 30 minutes of Straight Outta Compton where you're like, all right, cool.
Yeah, I mean,
it's how everybody's coming together.
It's real cool. It's on Hulu.
Nice.
How many episodes do you think?
8 total.
8? How long each episode?
Hour.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And then really quick, before we move on from here, shout out to David Diggs, who is in talks to play Sebastian
the Crab, baby.
David
Diggs, one of the two main characters in Blindspotting.
He's also in the original cast of Hamilton. And then Rafael Casal is also in the reboot of
Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Are You Afraid of the Dark? And so that first episode is now live on YouTube for
you
everybody
to watch it.
Awesome. Yeah, it is.
It's freaking awesome. You Afraid of the Dark? It's a mini-series they're doing now on Nickelodeon. It's 3-hour-long things, and it's just like, it's Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Yeah.
This shit is dark for Nickelodeon, man.
Yeah, that's what I've been hearing. Fuck yes.
And, so
yeah,
and Rafael's awesome in it.
Yeah, Rafa's playing, I forget the character.
The Mad Hatter, the Top Hatter.
Mr. Top Hatter.
Mr. Top Hatter,
yeah,
that's what it is.
Yeah. And the trailers make him look really fucking cool, so I'm excited to watch him in that.
Cool. Our next news story. Disney Plus offering new 3-year discount deal. Just wanted to put this out there for anyone that's looking for a deal. You can get 3 years for $141? No, is that right? Sorry. Oh, $169. There it is. $141 was the D23 deal that's still going on. It looks like it's still going on until like October 11th.
D23 deal?
Yeah. Let me see. What October 10th. So tomorrow.
So
yeah, let me see. The deal is actually still available to D23 members until October 11th, and it's free to sign up at the lowest level to qualify, which is, yeah, free, right?
My favorite bit from this news was Gary Whitta made an announcement yesterday.
Oh, my God.
Gary Whitta tweets,
trolly announcement.
Big news. I'm excited to be able to announce that I just signed a major 3-year deal with Disney+.
God.
$169 for 36 months works out to less than $5 a month, a $40 savings overall.
What a
shit. I love it.
So good. Yeah.
My response to that tweet was, they had us in the first half. I'll admit that.
So yeah, all you have to do is go to Disney Plus, sign up site, and enter the promo code Parks Pass 3 years.
We're a month away.
Yeah. So if you want to do that, and if you're watching this live or on the day that we post it, you still have time to get a D23 deal. Mm-hmm. And then our last news story, one that I'm really excited for.
It's really depressing, though. Fuck, man.
What?
It's depressing.
It's not.
Look at that fucking price tag.
Okay, all right. We'll get there in a second.
Yeah.
Marvel's Infinity Saga box set of all 23 Marvel Cinematic Universe movies.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man, I'm so excited. So it's 23 movies, each in 4K, individually packed in these little sleeves that are beautiful. It's expensive. It's $550.
Which honestly isn't expensive for what this is.
That's my stance. I know that sucks. I know that sucks, but that's also 23 movies.
4K. A lot of these movies were just for the first time released in 4K and they're still at retail for like $35.
And Tim and I were talking, it's going to be like, when Disney Plus comes out, it's only going to have 4 of the movies, and long term, how many movies are they going to have? I don't know. Are they going to have the Spider-Man movies? It's still unclear. I don't know, man. Like, this... I started buying them. I think I own 4 MCU movies right now, and then I stopped, and I was like, there's going to be something like that has them all together, so I'm going to wait. And I kind of want to get it.
Yeah, I'm just not in a financial place that I can right now, but I definitely would want this. This is what I have been waiting for.
It's November 15th soon. You know?
Yeah, and it's also very limited edition. One of the weirdest...
They haven't said... On the article that I was reading, they said that, like, they hadn't said how many are out there, so...
I saw a number somewhere. I don't remember what it was, but I think it was 3,000, but... this is one of the weirder announcements that Marvel and Disney have made where there's no real official kind of like, here's what this is and here's like everything to look at. It's just a pretty low quality JPEG that's out there.
Barry, can you click on the link and follow it through?
Yeah, that's
let you know what's in there. There's a lithograph. There's a bonus thing. There's a letter from Kevin Feige and stuff. But
and there's also the bonus disc that has like a bunch of stuff they've recorded over the years and like never posted. It's very exciting.
That'll all be online.
I hope that they do a version that's a little more accessible without all like the bonus stuff of just the movies and make it a little cheaper.
The bonus stuff, I really feel like they're just because it's one disc, you know? Like,
yeah,
there's not. Well,
I'm not talking about just the disc. I'm talking about like,
so you're saying
stuff.
The whole thing.
Yeah, I'm just saying like just give me the movies, make it a little cheaper, then maybe I can get in on this. You know,
I can't wait till DC does their version of this, but none of the images line up because they're all fucked up. They couldn't get their shit together.
God,
Batman's half Ben Affleck.
I heard you chuckle, and now I realize it's you setting that up in your mind.
Great joke.
I love the decision to have the title screens from the movies on each of the things.
Yeah,
like when you see Iron Man 3, it actually says Iron Man 3 spelled out THREE, which is such a weird decision they made, but I like it. It's just cool. I love the colors. I love the art that it makes. Like, to me, style-wise, this is exactly what I would want from these type of collections, which is just keep it sleek. Don't put it in a goddamn Infinity Gauntlet. Don't do any of the like this chintzy ass stuff. This is nice. I want to see what the box looks like closed. But yeah, unfortunately, I'm not a place that I can get this, but I definitely would want it because I don't think that we're going to see these movies collected in this way too often. We're going to see different versions of it, but the Spider-Man stuff, the Hulk stuff, like it makes this complicated. But I feel like this is such a great end point to collect, to have this one thing if you care. I don't need Blu-ray and 4K UHD. I'd rather 4K and digital, but hey, beggars
can't be choosers. Choosers can choose where we go to lunch today.
Holy shit, dude.
Do you have any interest in this crazy box set?
No, I don't keep stuff like this in my apartment. And my thing is like, when I want to watch the movies, I'll just go rent them or find them someplace. Mm-hmm. I mean, eventually we're all going to get Disney Plus because they're going to own everything. So they'll just be there at some point.
But like, there's still, and I understand Tim's like, the quality off a 4K disc, there's still something that like, it looks better with the exception of like when they have like Dolby Atmos and other things like that.
I mean, this is undoubtedly going to be better than however fucking fucked up version I'm going to watch.
I want this box so bad.
Like, when I'm watching it on Netflix, I mean, I'm watching it on a 1080p TV that's pretty old, so,
That's the other problem, too, is that these still don't have the IMAX versions. The 4K versions for things like Guardians and the Avengers movies still don't have the correct HDR shit. And it's just like, come on, guys. Yeah. Like, there's just little tweaks that if they had that stuff, I'd buy this. I'd figure out a way to get this.
The IMAX versions probably won't come to discs ever because IMAX is doing its own streaming thing.
It's really sounds
crazy.
Really upsetting.
Well, I'll just come over to all your houses and watch them.
Excellent.
How's that sound?
Yeah, it sounds great.
Kevin makes a charcuterie board that I hear is
excellent. Very good. Yeah, it's very good. All right, guys. Now let's talk about some trailers.
Trailer talking.
Thank you.
The first trailer that I want to talk to.
Before
just
we do, can I play this one sound effect I've had queued up for a while?
Yeah, let's do it. Oh, this is the daddy boy. Put your mic towards the thing.
Want some candy?
Hi.
Ryan!
Did he kill the ice the little kid?
Tribesmen, Al Tribesmen. You can go over. You can go over patreon.com/kindoffunny and you get a fun thing like that for yourself. Want some candy.
Nick.
Yeah.
We got our first Picard trailer. What do you think?
I think it looks great.
Yeah?
The fact that they're bringing back the old cast, I mean, Data notwithstanding, I think they could have done a little bit better job on that wig. Yeah. But Data's there. They got back Riker. They got back Deanna Troi, who looks like they're together now, which is great.
Maybe they have a kid as well. I don't know why, but when they showed Riker, I like I didn't expect it to be him that old. And like when he turned around, I like gasped and was like, oh my God. But I knew he was in the movie. But it was still like that was a cool moment.
It's
to
a
see
great
the
moment.
Trailer, yeah.
It's a great moment to see I forget the actress's name, but the woman who played Deanna Troi. Seven of Nine's in there, Jerry Ryan's in there as well. This is what you want with a Star Trek show. I mean, I know people have different perspectives on what they want Star Trek to be. I happen to love Discovery season 1 and 2.
I enjoy it very much.
And the fact
too.
That they're looking this looks like it's gonna be really almost a movie played out over the span of the series looks cool. Jonathan Frakes coming back. I'm sure he's probably directing a couple of them as well. If I'm not mistaken, I don't know, man. He might, maybe, I don't know. But he directed a lot of the original Next Generation episodes.
Yeah.
It's awesome. It looks cool.
It looks really cool. And Tim.
I was utterly shocked by how awesome this looks because I don't know Star Trek at all. Mm-hmm. I know the movies, the recent JJ movies, mm-hmm. And Justin Lin. But I know that people revere Next Generation and all that stuff. This trailer really, to me, seems like they're just nailing what they're attempting. And I appreciate that so much as a fan of so many different franchises and seeing a lot of things miss the mark when they do this type of like celebration show of like, you know what? We're giving the people what they want. But I think that them going with Discovery first and it being as big of a success critically as it is, setting the stage for this being like, all right, this is actually going to be good. If this was just the first thing announced, I think a lot of people would be like, put it in the same category as Cobra Kai or Girl Meets World, where it's like, it's a cool idea, but like, Whereas this is like, oh shit, they've proved that with the budget and situation that they have now, they can do really cool stuff, and now they're going to do cool stuff with the characters we want to see.
Oh.
And that's, I mean, going back, though, I mean, even with Discovery, with Pike, and with the tie-ins, the Enterprise and all that stuff, I trust them. And this is awesome.
It's cool that Discovery takes place after Enterprise, before the original series.
Before that, yeah.
Because, like, that gave them a little bit of, like, leeway to play around with stuff.
Give them a lot of leeway to play around with stuff. And again, a lot of leeway to play to flesh out characters that we never really got a chance to
see. Right, where we just see Pike for a thing.
And the guy that plays Pike is awesome. He does a great job. I want a Pike series now.
I think we might be getting more Pike.
That'd be amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, you got one of the world's greatest actors to come back and reprise a role that made him famous. And this is what I love most about this, is that most actors of his caliber would not go backward. But he was like, no, there's still some meat on that bone. There's still some stuff to explore there. It could be cool. And you know that part of him is just like, guys, remember when we used to do fucking like party our asses off? We made this show. Let's do it again.
Let's get the band back.
Why not, right?
Yeah.
It's fucking
absolutely
awesome.
Discovery also dropped a trailer, and we got a trailer for the Star Trek short. Like, it's the series of like short little mini shows.
Short Treks or whatever they are.
Yeah, Short Treks, that's it.
I'm not a fan of those.
Really?
Oh. Yeah. I was not a fan, to be fair, because I went into an episode and you need to watch those for context, and I don't like that.
Yeah.
I'm one of those people that's like, don't tell me I gotta read a comic book to fucking have context to the movie. Like, don't do this shit. Yeah. And the Short Treks, to me, I'm like, I'm like, put it in a fucking episode.
The trailer that they put out looks really interesting. It's all about the Tribbles. And
that's awesome.
Yeah, like we actually see how bad things can get with the trouble with tribbles. Yeah.
Did you see that episode?
No.
It's about these little furry animals.
Well, I'm well aware of it.
Anywho, I can't wait for this. Let's move on to our next trailer. Just want to touch on this one quickly. The Richard Jewell? Is it Jewell?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it looks amazing.
Looks really good.
Cast is fantastic. Yeah.
And by the way, I loved that guy in I, Tanya.
Perfect.
Yeah.
He's so good.
That
he's
so that
great.
Guy.
Yeah, he's so
great
good.
Casting for that.
What did I see him in? I think I saw him. I think he was in Black Klansman as well. I could be wrong about that. But he played one of the dipshit Klansmen.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So good. Yeah. He's great. This looks fucking great. And it's one of those really well-cut trailers where they get him to start saying the thing over and over again. And you're like, what are they going to do to this poor guy? I don't know. I don't remember that story at all, so I'm going in blind, and I'm not going to look up how it ended.
Okay.
And Kathy Bates is in it. She's phenomenal.
This movie looks fantastic. Can't wait for it to come out. Moving on to our next trailer, another quick one, Onward.
I've said this before, and I stand by it. I just don't think Pixar movies trailer well. The movies are always great, but when you see a trailer...
Nah, not always.
What's up?
Not always.
Good Dinosaur sucked.
Cars 2.
99% of the time.
Yeah. Cars Brave? They're great. Overrated.
Cars 1.
What did you say? Brave?
Yeah. Overrated. Yeah,
all right. All the Cars movies.
Yeah. No, just Cars 2.
Cars 3, pretty good.
Cars 3,
Cars
fan
1 wasn't
terrible.
Say,
Cars 1, fan fucking tastic.
I would say Cars 2, 3, nah,
not so much. No. Doesn't matter. trailers, never good.
Mm.
They're always just kind of like...
I felt like Onward's first teaser that they gave us kind of like was a little too vague and like I thought it was better
than this one though. Like, really? There's a lot of elements they're introducing in this. I'm like, what the fuck is this movie about?
This movie looks fun and interesting to, you know, like, this trailer has now gotten me excited for actually watching this movie.
Man, it did the opposite for me. If this wasn't Pixar, I would not watch this movie, no matter what.
Pixar has a lot of goodwill with me.
Yeah.
After the last 15 movies they made that were phenomenal that made me cry. So, yeah, I'll probably see this one.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the trailer, I'm with Tim. The trailer is not great, but it's Chris Pratt and Tom Holland, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good cast.
Chris Pratt, I like him so much.
God, I like them all.
Everything he says, I'm just like, ah, I keep going.
I think Julia Louis-Dreyfus is in this as well.
The mom.
Yeah.
Awesome. Let's go.
All right, move on to trailer number 3, The Walking Dead Universe.
So this is the new Jordan Roberts project. Mm-hmm. It's coming in spring. It's the third Walking Dead show now. So there's The Walking Dead, Fear the Walking Dead, and then this. It's interesting. They're doing this. It reminds me a lot of Fear the Walking Dead, where in concept, this is really cool. In execution, I don't understand what it's going to be. Because check this out. So Fear the Walking Dead did the whole thing where, like, we're going to take place when the outbreak first happens. Mm-hmm. We're going to deal with that. They go through that within 3 episodes, and then they're just in the apocalypse, and then it might as well be Walking Dead. And now, God damn, they're in it. They are totally crossed over, and, like, fear is bad. Bad, bad, bad now.
I thought fear was bad from the beginning. The first couple episodes was like, oh, this is a cool concept. And then
season 3, like, somewhere around season 3, it started getting good, and then they just fucking shit the bed hard. But this one takes place 10 years into the apocalypse, and it's kids that are in, like, a walled-off community, it might be the Commonwealth or whatever from the comics, that these kids have only lived in the zombie apocalypse and have been walled in and going to school, and there's this community that doesn't really need to deal with the zombies and shit, and they go outside for the first time to see the world and all that stuff. And, like, in concept, that's really fucking cool. Mm-hmm. In execution, this looks like Degrassi.
It looks like a bad Netflix high school comedy show.
It looks
show
like a
about
Nickelodeon show.
Yeah, it does. Like, the first 15 seconds or 30 seconds of this trailer, I was like, this is a cool concept.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then by the last scene, I'm like, nope.
By the last scene,
don't ever
scene,
need to see this thing.
The last scene, I was like, what are they thinking?
What the fuck?
Why would they? The tone shifts so comedic and, like, bad kind of comedy,
bad
too.
Bad comedy, man.
Well, you know.
And I also don't need to see people, another group of kids wandering a wasteland again. I'm like, all right, we're good.
Yeah, I mean, literally. It's so funny that the first 30 seconds of the trailer, like, whoa, this
cool
is
cool concept.
It's shot in an interesting way. Well, like, I liked when they started doing the VO and you're just like, wait, where is the, like, are they talking about when they're talking about the monuments and all this stuff?
Right.
It's like, oh, is this a shot of, like, a graduation that happened before, but, like, the words can kind of also work for this? And it's like, oh,
no,
shit,
this
no.
Is now,
this is now. And that's so cool. But then the moment that they get out, it's like, oh, you're going to Fear the Walking Dead this.
Yeah.
The interesting part about this, you're going to brush
away
past
from,
and then get to just people walking in abandoned trains and shit.
Oh, we're getting attacked by a zombie again. How? I didn't know it was going to be this bad. Well, we all did.
No, we're ready this time.
Oh, we're ready. No, you're not. Yeah. And, you know, it's the interesting aspect of this, to be positive for a second, is the promise of what the world is like when it starts to evolve. So you're seeing some of the zombies that are just, like, grown into the environment, and they're slower, and they're not, like, they're not as attacky as people.
They're decomposing.
They're decomposing.
Not...
So, like, that's cool. Like, that's
really
one of the
cool
things I really, really liked about, shit, what was that movie with Cillian Murphy where it was 28...
28 weeks later?
Weeks later, where...
Well, all the zombies were dead, and that didn't have, like, decomposing.
That's what I thought was cool about that, right? Was that eventually it was just if you live long enough,
they
whatever caused them, they just started dying because they couldn't move fast enough and feed themselves anymore. I like that concept. That's what my brain immediately goes, like, what is the resolution to this, or what is the next stage of this?
Especially if the threat is always there. Because, like, even in this world, like, you have to imagine when people still die in The Walking Dead, they turn.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter that, like, because then you still always have zombies as a thing.
Right.
You know?
They
really,
know how to do
really quick. It's 28 days later.
No, 28 weeks.
28 days later.
I'm looking at
the
it right
first
now.
One. I think they made a sequel.
We're talking about the sequel, though.
No, I'm talking about the first one.
Oh, are you?
Yeah, the first one was the one it has an ending where they're, like, driving around and they see the zombies and, like, they're just, like, on the side of the road because they just got slower.
Doesn't it end
with
them going through the tunnels?
Well. Yeah. It doesn't matter.
Sorry.
Like,
well, weeks dealt with it as in, like, the zombies are over.
Yeah.
And then there's one more outburst.
Okay.
And then they're not over.
Maybe I didn't see that second.
Those movies are fucking great.
They're great. They're fantastic.
So fuck, man.
I was just bringing up the one with Cillian Murphy.
Sorry.
The first one's fucking insane.
Thank you, Barry.
That was the first one with fast-moving zombies, and I was like, oh, that's really scary.
They're really fast,
They're really
too
scary,
like,
and really
that.
Strong.
No, no.
But I like the idea that they're like we'll get there one day with the science and like the stuff. And I'm like, fuck, that stuff's so cool. Like, I want to see a show that is about
climbing back
from the apocalypse.
They talk
the
about that.
Apocalypse.
They're like, our science will have re-evolved to where we're before, but it's going to take generations. And they see like maybe, you know, it would, because it would take generations to get back to where you were pre-apocalypse if, you know. It would take a long time.
The thing is, like, you know, we're making a lot of assumptions that I think we're going to be right about it's going to take place with just these kids fucking walking in the wastelands and shit.
It's easier to film.
It'd be great if that was just the first half of season one, and then they find the dad, and then the dad has been in a different community doing stuff, and like they're
He's got a whole other family, and they're like,
could be cool, man.
How could you do this to me, man? Like, we probably gonna
so,
come
are you
back.
Gonna give this show a shot?
I'm gonna wait to see the reception of it and then go from there. I want this to be good. It doesn't look good based on this trailer. I think it's a weird call that they're not announcing what the name of it is. It's coming in spring.
Oh, is it not called Walking Dead Universe?
No, it sets something else.
The title said Walking Dead Universe, a new series.
They said something at the end where they were like, "This is like Endgame" or something like that. That I thought they were gonna. That was the end.
That was the end of Infinity War.
Yeah,
yeah. I don't know.
Great movie.
I might be wrong. It might be called that, but that's a bad name.
Let's talk about what is coming to streaming platforms. First on Netflix. Tomorrow at midnight.
Tonight at midnight.
El Camino.
El Camino. A Breaking Bad movie. Watch that if you want to watch the in-review. If not, know that the in-review is going to be here waiting on YouTube or Rooster Teeth.
Yeah, we're going full spoilers in that one, so beware.
So I got to watch it too. Amazon Prime has High Life. You remember this movie, Nick?
High Life.
It's with Robert Pattinson, and he's like in space. We watched a trailer for it a long time ago. He's in space, and your light is on for some weird reason.
Tim, you're blinding the audience. Watch out, everyone. Don't drive your car and watch this at the same time.
He's in space with his daughter on a spaceship with everyone dead, and he's trying to get back to Earth or something.
Oh, okay.
It looks really like weird and heady, so that's on Amazon Prime if you want to check it out.
Cool.
And on Hulu, Little Monsters, another zombie apocalypse movie where some girl is like, it looks like she's like a kindergarten teacher, and then zombies are coming to attack, and she's trying to fend them off.
Oh, this looks great.
But looks like a post-zombie apocalypse movie.
Okay.
Interesting.
Also a great Fred Savage movie. Little Monsters.
Right. This is not that. Out in theaters near you, we have The Addams Family.
Oh, wow.
Which doesn't look great.
Yo, it looks really bad.
Yeah, it looks really bad. But let's move on.
I like the style of it, though. I like the way it looks.
Yeah, but okay, here's the thing. The Addams Family 1 and 2 are phenomenal. Phenomenal Halloween movies. Find them and watch them.
Classics.
I love them so much.
Classics.
And
except
I think,
for the very the last 5 minutes of the first one, where they're like, you've been fasting the whole time. Like, really? Okay.
Whatever.
Let's explain that away with a line.
Also, Gemini Man is coming out. So if you want to watch that in like 120 hertz.
If you want to watch someone get a motorcycle whipped.
That movie's going to tank.
I kind of want to watch it now.
I actually don't want to watch it.
I don't want to.
Because of
that motorcycle was dope as fuck, though.
The way it's being projected is why I want to watch it.
I'm interested in that too.
Jexy's coming out, a movie that Nick thinks might be funny.
I totally disagree. The trailer made me laugh, and I love Adam Devine. You guys are all monsters, and you have no hope or life left in you.
Last week, I asked you for your mini reviews on The Joker at the bronze tier level on patreon.com/kindoffunny. You guys came in and wrote some stuff. Sam Mosier says, Joker's gripping film that's good but not great. Joaquin Phoenix is incredible, but I didn't like the obvious plot twist, the little people humor, or how quickly Joker became a god to the people. I agree, Sam. Great points you're making here. BJ Bernardo says, I really liked it. The movie people should watch in... This is a movie people should watch in theaters to give it your full focus, as the greatness of the story is in the details. I really enjoy how, after the big reveal, no spoilers, you start to question what is real. I didn't like how the story went from being about how society can affect one man to, at the end, how one man can affect society. I would much rather prefer his final speech focus more about him. Also, Phoenix and his uncomfortable ribcage. It really looked, yeah. It was an uncomfortable location. Yeah. That's commitment. Thanks for reading this, Kevin. I know it's a lot of words. Also, how's your hot little, nope, not going to read it anymore.
Almost got him. Almost got him. Chicharro. I love it. What's happening?
Ignacio Rojas says, what? What?
Nick.
Keep going.
Oh, Chicharro got it. God. Ignacio Rojas says, I'm writing this as I'm leaving the theater, so these are my fresh thoughts. I'm having trouble saying that this is a good movie, but I don't think that it was bad. This isn't an enjoyable movie, and personally, I think that's how it should be. The Joker isn't supposed to be an enjoyable character. He's a madman, so neither should his movie. I think this movie does perfectly what it needs to be a Joker origin story. It's messed up. English is a second language, you prick.
I'm not laughing at him.
I know. I'm trying my best.
What are you laughing at me?
No, he's laughing at me.
I'm not trying to laugh. Just keep going.
The main character isn't redeemable. The main character isn't redeemable. The city is on the verge of anarchy. This might not be a good movie, but it's a great Joker movie. I also believe this film greatly lends itself to be analyzed. I really agree. There's a lot of...
I forgot to say in what we've been watching, I did also see The Joker since last week's episode. Yeah.
How'd you like it?
I think it's very okay.
I think it's very okay, too. But it does lead to good conversations, I'd say.
I don't think it's a good Joker movie whatsoever. I think they get close to doing that in the end on the TV set and stuff like that. But there's a lot of, like... dipping their toes in the water, and then they get a little too cold, and they're like, "Oh, we don't want to go full Joker." And people saying like, "Yeah, it's not supposed to be an enjoyable watch; it's supposed to be disturbing." And I was like, "I don't find this movie's called The Joker. This is all of the disturbing things he's doing in this movie are basic ass Joker things. Like, do you not know this character? I don't know. It didn't have that like surprise, holy fuck, like what is going on factor that I feel like everybody seemed to have before I saw it.
I think that there's a moment in the movie that kind of like is like a surprise, and it's like, oh shit, this is a very Joker thing to do in a real world.
The scene in his apartment with the two friends that come and
visit. Yeah. That's not the scene I'm talking about, though.
Oh, okay. That's the scene that like I enjoyed. Yeah. Because that felt like, oh, he's turning into the Joker.
I thought that scene was a little much, but
But
here we go. This is what I think the Joker does well. It lends itself
to conversation.
Yeah, exactly. For next week's bronze topic, Jay and Silent Bob reboot is out. What reboots have surprised you and why? Let me know what reboots have been a big impact. That you were like, oh, this is gonna suck, and it was great, or you were like, this is gonna be great, and it sucks. What's up, Tim?
What is it? Out?
Yeah. What do you mean by
next?
It's
out next week. That's just using that as like my starting point. Jane Silent Bob reboot.
It's coming out.
It's coming out next week, and because of that, I want to talk about reboots.
Okay.
Sorry. So yeah, let me know what reboots have come out that you know you were like, oh, this is a lot better or a lot worse than I thought, and why? Okay. So thank you for joining us today. I was your host. You can follow me on Twitter or all social media at Kinda Funny Kevin. You can follow Nick at Nick_Scarpino. You can follow Tim at Tim Geddes. Go and watch El Camino so we can talk about it tomorrow. You have a good day. Bye-bye.